The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, January 9th, 2023.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do, because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. With me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, and co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Elaine.
Wow, what a beautiful day here in Sonoma County. I'm sure everybody heard the thunder this weekend and the lightning. Oh, my goodness. But it's so wonderful to see that rain coming down. I mean, we need it so badly. Well, I have a very, very special show this morning. Joining me in the studio this morning, I have two special guests, Annie Clark, who is both managing director of the Sixth Street Playhouse, and actor Molly Larson Shine. And we're going to talk about a new production specifically for children. And I'm really excited about that. It's called A Year with Frog and Toad. I love that title. You know, I remember I read that book to my daughter. You know, I'm a strong believer in live theater, and I just love Sixth Street Playhouse. You know, I want to do a shout out for them. 50 years of bringing live theater to Sonoma County. I mean, what a feat. Just to be able to stay in business that long is just amazing. And also, when I think about the theater, I think about these young people with the computers and their cell phones, you know, and here they have a chance to see live performers. And also, every once in a while, you know, when you listen to a bio of a famous star or something, they say, oh yeah, I went to the movies, or I went to the live theater, and this is what inspired me. So it's very, very important. And this is going to be a children's show. So that's really exciting. Also joining me in the studio this morning will be Tina Rogers, an educator, performer, and researcher, and an absolutely wonderful, wonderful friend. And we'll be talking about the Martin Luther King Jr. Celebration that is happening on Sunday, January 15th. You know, we lost an icon this week. Barbara Walters passed away. She was 93 years old. And, you know, I did a lot of research on her. I mean, I've been watching her. I mean, I was born in 1940, when you never heard a woman or saw a woman on TV or listened to it on the radio. So she was quite a phenomenal woman. And when I did research on her, I found exactly the impact that she made. It was tremendous. I mean, we see so many women now reporting the news, so many women on the radio. I mean, here I am myself, a woman, right? Women's Spaces, you know, and thanks to Barbara Walters, she has opened up the space for women to come forward and to have a stronger voice. And she was an anchor for years and years on a program called The View. And I love The View. I mean, I don't always agree with them. I think sometimes they're a little bit too conservative for me. But at the same time, it's a group of women talking about issues that are very, very important. So my condolences go out to Barbara Walters and her family, and also all of her fans. I know people feel very, very bad about her passing. But you know, what's really interesting, sometimes I think that, you know, we all want to leave a legacy. We all want to do something. You know, we all want to feel that we have contributed somewhat to the betterment of humanity, so to speak. And Barbara Walters did have an impact. But we all have an impact, and we all have an opportunity to have a voice and to speak out for injustice and what is not right or what is not wrong or what you agree or disagree with. You know, it's far too long that women themselves have been too silent. You know, my belief system is women, we are endowed by the Creator, whatever that is, you know, the great woohoo, the great whatever, you know, people call it Jesus, God, Muhammad, you know, I call it the great mystery. You know, I don't know what it's all about. Where does the rain come from? You know, that kind of question. But we have been endowed. Whether we have children or not is irrelevant. We have been endowed with that power. It's almost like we hold the secret of the universe in our body. And when we do decide to give birth and we do decide to have a child, it's not just my child. Once you you become a mother, you become mother to all children. And why do I say that? Because, you know, we have war-torn countries right now. There are young children that are suffering terrible. There, but for fortune, go you or I. If one child is in jeopardy, my friends, every child is in jeopardy. And that's why I say, as women, we must stand up for peace. We must stand up for justice. We must let our voices be heard. It is very, very important. I know for myself, I get so angry sometimes when I hear things, but at the same time, how I relieve myself is speaking out, writing a letter to an editor, you know, talking to somebody, you know, becoming friends with somebody that might be opposite of you and trying to come to some sort of agreement together. All those little things that we can do as individuals will go out to the world. Trust me, it's very, very interesting. Well, like I do every Monday morning, we do the segment on Our History is Our Strength. And I know I must sound like a broken record, but the reason that I do that is because it is very important that we are aware of whose shoulders we are standing on. You know, we did not get the vote till 1920, and it wasn't until 1970s that we could even have a credit card or own property on ourselves. But these are the women whose shoulders that we are standing on, and we need to understand that and also to glean strength from them. Because when the first person, okay, something happened on January 8th, 1977, which is a very important day, Anna... We have an Anna in the studio. Pauli Murray was the first African-American woman ordained to the Episcopal priesthood by Bishop William F. Creighton in Washington National Cathedral in Washington, D.C. That was a huge event, a woman becoming a priest in a church was an amazing feat. And then we have some happy birthdays. I thought this is very interesting since we have a wonderful actress from the play, the Toad and the Frog. And here we have on January 8, 1911, and she was made her transition in 1995. And this is a woman who had an impact on black women, and that was Thelma Butterfly McQueen. She danced with Katharine Dunham as Butterfly in A Midsummer Night's Dream and played Prissy in Gone with the Wind. And that's how she got her name, Butterfly, because she danced in The Midsummer Night's Dream as Butterfly. What a woman she was. And, you know, she came across kind of fluttery, like a little butterfly. But when you do the research on the history of this woman, she was a civil rights activist. She was very, very outspoken and also had the opportunity of being on the theater. And you very rarely saw a black woman back then when she made her debut. So amazing. So happy birthday to Thelma Butterfly McQueen, who made her transition in 1995. And then there's one other person that we must acknowledge, and that's she was born today, January 9th, 1859, and she made her transition in 1947. And that was Carrie Chapman, Cat. Nationally reorganized, she was nationally recognized woman suffrage leader, led suffragists in victory in the 1920 as president of the National American Women's Suffrage Association. Happy birthday, Carrie Chapman Catt. If it wasn't for her, we would not have the vote. You know, one of these women would not have the vote that we have today. And also, she was responsible for developing and organizing the first, the League of Women Voters, amazing, amazing group that helps to educate women about what to vote for. You know, they don't take a stand. They just give you knowledge. And one of the things that Carrie Chapman said is, if women are going to vote, if women are going to vote as individuals, not voting as their husband votes, we've got to educate them. And that's when she developed and founded the League of Women Voters. And we actually have a chapter here in Sonoma County, which is amazing, amazing. And it's been around for about 35 years right now. So it's an amazing organization that we need to acknowledge. Well, that's a lot. I don't know. Where did Ken go? Ken, we're just about ready to take a musical break, hon. Anyway, I'm very, very excited that because we are going to take a musical break, and the song that I'm going to be playing is A Year with Frog and Toad. And that's what we're going to be doing the interview about. And it's sung by Kate Reinders and Daniel Furlan. And these are two people that were in the original cast in Broadway for this particular show. And when we return, I will be talking with Annie Clark, managing director of Sixth Street Playhouse and actor, and also actor Molly Larson Shine. And we're going to talk about the new production specifically for children, A Year with Frog and Toad. So let's go ahead and play this fun song, Ken.
We flew south for the winter, south for the winter. Every fall we pack our things and go. We know just how to time it, to find the proper climate, one that doesn't feature any snow. 'Cause when it snows you shiver and it's difficult to fly. South for the winter, south for the winter. But we're back, it's almost spring. In spring the weather's lovely. It elevates the mood, but even more important, there's a plentitude of food. So if you're feeling peckish, you can go for seconds, even
for the birds.
No, it isn't.
It's an expression.
Oh, winter now is over. The snow has all been snowed. Spring is near, which starts a year with Frog and Toad.
Well, it's true, folks. Spring is almost here. The sun will be shining. The flowers will be growing. The birds will be chirping.
Chirp, chirpity, chirp.
Here we have Frog, and over here we have Toad. They are both at the end of a winter-long hibernation. Let's take a peek in and see what they're dreaming about.
Wow, we're going to peek in with two wonderful people here. I just love that song, you know, with all the junk that's going on lately in the world, and you can listen to this little happy tune. It just lifts your energy, and it gives you hope that there is hope in the world because there's joy and happiness. Anyway, for you just joining, I want to remind my listeners that the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of the station, its board of directors, its members, and Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And joining me in the studio is Annie Clark, Managing Director of the Sixth Street Playhouse, and actor Molly Larson Shine. And we're going to talk about a new production specifically for children, A Year with Frog and Toy. Well, welcome. Welcome to Women's Spaces, women. Women. Welcome to Women's Spaces, women. Well, yes. Welcome to Women's Spaces, lady. And thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, it's just wonderful. Now, if you don't mind, I'd like to tell our audience just a little bit about you. I have a little short bio here. Let's hear from you, Annie.
Yes, I'm Annie Clark, and I had the pleasure of directing and choreographing this fabulous production.
And I am Molly Larson Shine, and I have the honor of being directed in this wonderful production where I am bird, mouse, squirrel, and mole.
Boy, I'll tell you. Well, you know, instead of just that, that's enough. Just your parts in a play, you know. I know, you know, you have quite a background. If you'd like to add, let's talk a little bit, Molly, about what's your background a little bit?
I did theater. I think my very first show was when I was 13 years old. I worked a lot with the Cinnabar Young Rep program and continued through that until I was about 18. And then I sort of stopped doing theater for a while, and somebody I had worked with a long time ago was like, hey, I'm doing a show, and you haven't been around, so I'd really love to, like, get you back in. And that was, like, 2016, I believe, and it was a show at Sixth Street, actually. And ever since I got back into it, I just haven't stopped. So I've been working in Sonoma County for about 10 years now. and it's been just wonderful.
Well, it's wonderful having you. I loved when we were playing the song, we were kind of all dancing together, you know, getting kind of in the mood for the play. And Annie, talk a little bit about yourself. You know, I've had you on the show before. You know, you're part of the Sixth Street Playhouse, but you have quite a background in directing and acting. So give us just a little flavor about who you are.
Yeah, I love directing and choreographing. I've directed a lot of youth productions with youth actors, but this is my directorial and choreography debut at the Playhouse. I worked on the national tour of Peg Plus Cat, if anyone's familiar with that lovely little children's show. I did the choreography for that, and I love A Year with Frog and Toad. It makes me smile till my face hurts every time I watch my cast, who are all so talented, perform the show. And I had the privilege of being an actor on stage as well in national tours and Broadway shows, and I really adore this production.
Well, it's amazing. You know, I got to ask both of you a question. You know, this is a women's show, and it's really my whole goal is not only to educate women, but to help them, you know, open their mouths, open their minds to think. You know, Mo, let's start with you. Where do you get your confidence? I mean, you know, you have to go and, I mean, here you're playing four parts, right? Or is it three or four?
Four.
Four parts. I mean, I have to have a script in front of me. I can't even remember three lines. Where do you get your confidence, and how do you gear yourself up when you go on stage?
You know, I think I get a lot of my confidence knowing that the other actors around me always have my back at any time. You know, one of the things I love about community theater is it's just that. It's a community. And so, you know, when you go out on stage and, you know, you've prepped as much as you possibly can and you've read your lines, you've sung your music, you know, there are always going to be times where you get on that stage and you go, what comes next? And I always have that confidence of knowing the other people around me are like, yeah, okay, this is where we are. This is where we're at. Well, and that really is helpful.
So it's not only your own self-confidence, mm-hmm. but the trust.
Right.
It seems like there has to be a very high level of trust that you know that these people that you're working with, that they're going to take care of you. Like
right.
You slip a line or something, that they will be there. And how about you, Annie? I mean, here you are. Now you're making a debut as the choreographer, you know. So this is a whole new evaluation area for you. You know, that's how I think of it. Oh, my God, I'm doing something different. What are people going to think? Well, where do you get your confidence, and how do you prepare yourself?
Well, I prepared myself very quickly for this production because I found out I was directing and choreographing it about a week before we started rehearsals. I find my confidence, I think, just in trusting the process and knowing that I'm doing something that I absolutely love. I know it's going to be fun. And the whole goal of, you know, putting together art like this is that it's supposed to bring people joy. And I know that the minute my cast, who I did not cast and I had never met before, we had our first rehearsal, the minute I met all of them, I just knew it was going to be a fantastic process and finished product, because there was so much fantastic energy in the room. They just were so lovely, and it's been a really, really fun process, and I could not be more proud of the finished product.
It sounds like the same thing that Molly is saying, you know, that you know that once you have confidence in the people, and that's it, if you follow your intuition. Because I know sometimes when I walk in a room, I know who I can't work with, or you know what I mean? And here, you know, as a director, you come in and all of a sudden you have to put that intuitive button on. So, I mean, so thank you both for sharing. Mm-hmm. I thought I'd just do the bios a little bit different, you know, just
yeah.
Let you talk a little bit more about yourself. Well, you know, the play, The Frog and the Toad it's been around for a while. So Annie, why don't you give us just a little bit of history about the play and what just a little kind of a hint of what it might be about. And how do you think that it's going to impact children?
Oh, wow. Well, this production originally opened on Broadway in 2003. It was commissioned to by Arnold Lobel's daughter to be turned into a musical. And it was Tony nominated and had a fantastic run on Broadway. This version that we're doing is a Theater for Young Audiences version of the show. So it's a little bit more condensed into a nice, tight hour-long performance that's really geared towards being able to play to the attention span of the age group that we're inviting to come and see the show, which is ages 3 to 10 is what it's best for. But we had this opening weekend audience members as young as just, you know, a few months old, 17 months old, and they were totally engaged the entire time. It was just lovely to see their faces and the kids dancing. And I would say that this production is based on the children's literature that everyone knows and loves, the Arnold Lobel books, and it takes us through all of the seasons that Frog and Toad experience together.
Amazing. It really is. It's just amazing. Well, you know, talk a little bit about what some of your challenges are being a director. You know, and again, how do you overcome some, you know, I'm sure you have a fear here and there. How do you overcome some of that stuff and move forward with it?
Yeah, I think that my job as a director and choreographer is to bring out the best in my actors. I need to take what they do best and help it shine. I think that we really accomplished that in the show. I think the tap dancing was one of the bigger challenges for all of us. But I think everyone executed it beautifully, and it brings something a little bit special to the show. I think that for me as the director for this production, directing it in a three-quarter thrust formation with the audience on three sides of all the actors was a little bit of a challenge to make sure that everyone could see the actors as much as possible during the performance. So that was really important to me. And figuring out how to make all of these four seasons happen without a lot of props and, you know, snow falling and things like that. We got very creative with making snow with umbrellas, actually.
Well, it sounds like the same thing. You depend on your intuition, that intuitive button, like, you know, how do I get the four sides? You know, you got to start thinking, you got to start creating, and then also working with your actors, like how do you give this one a role? I mean, it's all these intuition. That's what it sounds like. And I believe in my mind, when you work through intuition, you have to have a great deal of self-esteem and beyond worrying about what everybody's going to think about you, but just move into the production itself. Well, Molly, you have, I mean, to me, like I said at the beginning of the show, I can barely memorize a line. I mean, I have to have a full script in front of me here. Here you're playing four parts. Talk about the four parts. Just mention each little name. And then where did you get the confidence, and how do you prepare yourself?
Sure. So I play four different roles. I play Bird. I play Mouse. I play Squirrel. And I play Mole. I think the first part of preparing is thinking about what sets all four of them apart. And I think a lot of that comes from the animal themselves. You know, Annie did a really great job of working with all of us about what makes each of these animals different. And in my mind, for Bird, when I come on as her, is I think she's very tall and she's very lifted and she's very light and feathery. And I think for Mouse is a lot more grounded. She's a lot more cautious. She's small, and she's in this world that's bigger than her. And how does that affect my walk? You know, she touches her face a lot because she's a mouse, and, you know, and how do we read that for kids too, you know? And she follows her nose. That's a big one for her, is I can smell what's going on. And then for Squirrel, you know, she's a little more mischievous and has her own agenda and can't always be predictable. and then for Mole, you know, I think moles are pretty relatable animals. They're They're active at twilight. They're a little sleepy, but they work really hard. And, you know, I think she's kind of a down-to-earth, maybe construction worker kind of gal. And so, you know, it's really fun as an actor to just sort of find the ways to make each of those moments different. And with a show like this, it's only an hour long. You know, you don't have a lot of time to dedicate for each role. And so you have to think of the best way to differentiate those people, especially for the little kids. Because, you know, a kid's going to see you and go, hey, wait a minute, that woman in the blue hair, I know her. She was a bird a minute ago. And so...
That would be a real challenge. I never thought about that.
You know, and it's just so special. I had a moment where a mom came out with her 11-month-old. I think she was maybe a little fussy in the theater, and I was coming in for my entrance, and I was dressed as Mouse, and I had my cute little ears, and so... You know, I went up to the little girl and I went, oh, well, I hope that I'll see you inside for a little minute. I'll be on stage and I'll hope to see you. And she just smiled at me, just ear to ear. And it was the cutest thing I've ever seen.
Well, it must make you feel good. But again, both of you were talking about two things. One, of course, self-confidence, but intuition. The intuitive, you know, like, you know, here you are, you're asking yourself, I've got these four characters, how do I change into them without everybody saying, oh, she was this and she was that. So it takes a great deal of intuition and as well as self-esteem. You know, again, you know, that's what I think is so marvelous about live theater. Even if you know, if there's a mother or family out there, I remember when my daughter was growing up, I put her on different little plays and stuff, and how much it helped her with her confidence. And also, I have a secret to tell you about Cinnabar Theater.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what was his name? I forgot his name now, the one who started it. But anyway, they had Tales of Hoffman.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to be on Tales of Hoffman, right? So Marvin was his name. So I went and I interviewed with him, and I say, and he said to me, he took my hand, he says, Elaine, you're not a singer. He says, but you have a great personality. He said, I'm going to put you, I was the prop. I changed all the props. I was everywhere. And then when the doll came on, now this is what really showed me what it was like when you're an actor and what happens when you're on that stage. I had to cough. Now the doll, I don't know if you're familiar with Tales of Hoffman, she's doing a dance. Mm-hmm. It's very, very, very specific. It's the highlight of the show. And I have to cough. I almost passed out. One woman said I literally turned purple. But the thing was, is I didn't pass out, I didn't cough, and I continued. But I recognized at that moment the skill of what it likes. I'm not an actress or an actress, but I recognized the skill of that. So yeah. I just wanted to compliment you about that. Now, you're also dancing in the, mm-hmm, right? So are you a dancer?
I have never taken formal dance lessons, but I like to tell directors I'm a rhythmic mover.
Okay. It's, again, self-confidence, knowing yourself.
I love to dance, and I've been told that I move well, and so I'm always willing to learn something new. I think that's another joy of being in this community is I'm always learning. I'm always learning something new and having a new skill. And so now I can say that I have more tap experience.
Oh, so you're one of the tap.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so that was, so again, where did you, it's like, for example, it sounds to me like the tap dancing was a real challenge for you also, Annie. Where did you get that confidence, both of you, to integrate that in there?
Well, the challenge for me was I like to push them outside of their comfort zone with their skill level. So we had a lot of, we learned a lot of new things.
Mm-hmm.
I learned how to tap dance in college and I had the opportunity to do it in quite a few professional productions. So also Blue, who plays, Jonathan Blue, who plays Frog, is an excellent tap dancer. So it was fun to play with him. But I think just the challenge with tap dancing is it's rhythmic, you know, and you're using different parts of your feet, and it, if it's something new for you, it's a skill that doesn't come easily, so it takes practice, but I think everyone accomplished it.
Well, Molly, would you say It took more than practice. It took persistence. Learning. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. I would go home from rehearsal. We have one particular tap break. And the thing about the tapping that I do is with the birds, you know, it's three of us. So not only do I have to worry about my own feet, but going, how are we going to make sure that all three of us are making the same sound at the same time? And so I would go to work and I would just, every time my boss would ask me to do something, I would get up and I would tap my way over to the task and then come back and tap my way back.
Did he look at you funny?
Mm-hmm. And my coworker, you know, I work in a male predominant business. And so, you know, I'd have all these very masculine men staring at me as I tap my way through the shop.
But, you know, I'm being a little sneaky here. You know, I handed you the card that I have my little pledge to self-esteem. And I'm just being a little bit sneaky in here trying to bring it out how important it is to not worry about
exactly what
people think. Or maybe I don't know something, but I'll tap my way. You know, so what if my boss is, you know, he'll get a kick. But that's the whole idea. And that's the whole idea behind Women's Spaces is trying to give women enough confidence to stand up and to be who they're self. Like the theme song, the woman in your life is you. Use that inner strength that you have. And that's what I hear coming out of both of you. And that's why it's so important with live theater, because people have an opportunity to think outside the box and to create. So we're coming very quickly. In fact, we're right there right now at the end of our segment. So what I'd like to do, Annie, and first of all, any last words that you have, Molly, before I ask this question to Annie?
I just wanted to say thank you so much for having me here. You know, I didn't know that your radio station was here, but what important work that you do. Like, just sitting here, you've empowered me. Just hearing about other women and having a space where other women can talk. You know, I find that so special and so incredible. And so I really want to make sure that I start listening to Women's Spaces.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to fall off the chair. What a beautiful, beautiful compliment. Thank you.
And to sit here, too, just multi-generational, just women with women, you know. What an incredible thing. So just thank you for giving me that opportunity.
Well, thank you for saying that. And I want to tell my listeners, I did not put a script in front of her. This is right from her heart. So thank you, Molly. That's so sweet of you. You know, and it's lovely, lovely having you here. Believe me, I'm getting just as much a thrill out of it as you are. Okay, Annie, let's end our segment with, is there, you know, tell people how they can get tickets. Is there any new productions that are coming up? And any last words that you would like to say before we end the segment?
Yeah, you can get tickets for A Year with Frog and Toad on our website, www.6thstreetplayhouse.com. And we do have a few more weekends of A Year with Frog and Toad. It is selling out quickly, and a lot of people want to get out of the rain and inside to the playhouse. So get your tickets quickly. We will be
Before you say that, I heard that it's not only a play, but there's a few children's activities before and after. Is that true?
I was just going to mention that we are actually partnering on this production and hopefully future ones as well with the Children's Museum of Sonoma County.
Oh, how wonderful.
So they've provided a really fun art project for the kids to do before the show. If you arrive 30 minutes before, you can do the art project. You also can draw a portrait of Frog or Toad and have your artwork featured on the set, which is a fun little idea that we implemented, which is really popular. And then we have Little Shop of Horrors is opening at the Playhouse at the end of the month, and that is going to be a really fun production. And we have our spring youth productions classes starting at Jungle Book Kids and Footloose if people want to be on the stage as well. So.
Wow, 50 years of dedication, you know. I mean, this is a community radio station, and I go across the globe on different community radio stations, and that's what's so important, that it's community, that we can come together and we can support it.
Thank you.
Website, any website they go to.
Oh, yeah, it's www.6thstreetplayhouse.com, and I just wanted to say I think that theater for kids is so important, and I feel like there's a need for it that hasn't been fulfilled, really, and what we're doing is different, and families need to come and have their kids experience theater. It is such an amazing way to also improve literacy, too. And all of the TYA titles, Theater for Young Audiences, are based on children's literature. And A Year with Frog and Toad is a perfect example. So come and see the show and read the books. You will not be disappointed.
Well, I want to thank both of you. I want to thank you, Molly Larson Shrine, for being on the show. And thank you so much for that beautiful, beautiful compliment. And Annie Warren Clark, thank you. And I look forward to having more interviews with you about more special things that happen. Like I said, I support this. I think it's very important. It's very important in our community. And we are a community radio station. And that's what we support. We support our community. And thank both of you for what you do.
Thank you, Elaine. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, and what you do really is so important. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Notice I have a script. Anyway, that's it for this segment, folks. And oh, this is just wonderful, you know, when you start thinking about what people are doing and what we have in our community here. It's just amazing. Well, we're going to take a musical break right now, and the song I'm going to be playing is Martin Luther King Jr., sung by Laura Nebo, and that's what we're going to talk about. When we return, joining me in the studio is a dear friend of mine, Tina Rogers, educator, performer, and researcher, and a wonderful friend, and she's also part of the organizing committee for the Martin Luther King event. And what's so exciting about it this year, it is happening on January 15th, which is actually his birthday. And I am so excited about that. I mean, I love celebrating Dr. King. I'll never forget the day that he was shot as long as I live. I stood paralyzed for almost 2 hours thinking such a great man that would happen to. And here we are celebrating his birthday on the day of his birthday. So I'm looking forward to that. So let's go ahead, Ken. Let's go ahead and play Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., sung by Laurie Nebo.
hearted Lucifer.
We should be singing on the mountaintop. Like he said, he had a dream that all the children in the world would not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the quality of their life, by the, who they are as human beings. Well, welcome back. You are listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holt. And with me in the studio, I have to confess, is one of my favorite people in the whole world, Tina Rogers, who's an educator, performer, and researcher. And welcome, Tina. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Hey, Happy New Year. Happy to be back to see you.
Well, you know, it's also going to be the Chinese New Year. It's going to be the Year of the Rabbit, which means there's lots of things that we're going to be producing, and you're really involved in a major production here in Sonoma County. So before we begin, Tina, let me tell folks just a little bit about you. Tina, I've known Tina since she was a young girl, and she's still a young girl and still beautiful. I'm so happy to have her. She's a native of Sonoma County. She devoted her life to trying to understand this beautiful planet, the humans, and the other species that share the world. A true humanitarian is what she represents through research, education, and communication with others. She likes to help other people see the big picture. And she is also part of the organizing committee for the Martin Luther King Jr. Project. And I think this happens every single year. And talk about that a little bit. How long have you been involved? And why do you feel this is an important event that happens every year?
You know, thank you, Elaine, so much. Not only are we celebrating Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., his birthday and his legacy and everything that he's done for humanity and the world, but here in Sonoma County, we're going into our 44th year in the county of presenting a program specifically for that, for the county and the civil rights movement. But the greatest part about it is that it is the longest running Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. birthday celebration west of the Mississippi.
Oh, my goodness. That's good information, and that's really good information to know. Well, talk a little bit about the background of how this all started. I mean, here we have a national holiday. I mean, people actually get – it's a federal holiday that people actually get a day off. And I know at the beginning when it first was brought to the table, so to speak, there was some resistance, but it eventually made it. So talk a little bit about the history.
Yeah, well, you know, there was a lot of people that – you know, at that time when he was murdered, you know, we're highly disappointed, not on just like the actions that have happened, but just like with society in general. And it did take a long time after that. So in the 80s, that's when the holiday became a federal holiday. And yes, there were some states that were resistant, you know, like Arizona, and there were some other states, and people are kind of resistant to that. But I think that the major part about celebrating Dr. Martin Luther King is about civil rights for all people. Now, of course, it started for what we call black people, because the black people were the only ones that were, you know, having water hoses against them and dogs and different type of laws that were in black codes against them. But what Dr. Martin Luther King realized is that, and just like, you know, Gandhi and Mother Teresa, and also like Nelson Mandela, it's about all of us coming together to make the world a better place. And some people have suffered and suffered enough to make the world a better place.
Well, that's a good point. That's a good point, you know, It really is. And, you know, what impact do you think? I mean, every year, I know for myself, I know when January hits, I know, oh, I wonder who's going to be organizing the Martin Luther King. And you have a team that get together every single year. And I didn't realize that it's 44 years in this county and that we're the longest running in longest county running that type of program in the United States. That's amazing.
Yes, it is. And thank you for recognizing that, because the black people in this county, and it's particular starting with all of us congregating, and I wasn't born at the time, but like Community Baptist Church was established in 1951 and in the South Park area in Martin Luther King Park over by the fairgrounds. And so our community has always gotten together. Now, when we're talking about inviting the public, we're inviting the public to share with us and help us move as a culture and also as a county and also as humanitarians. And so this has been going on for a long time, but well before radio, well before interviews, you know, in the paper, well before people can just come and, you know, watch and see what's going on. This is something that has been coming from our soul as a community and a culture here in Sonoma County.
Well, I'm always pleased just to be part of it. Just even just have you on the radio and talk about it, to me, it just gives me a charge, let's put it that way. Well, talk about the event. Talk about what it entails. You know, I know that you have certain things for children, certain contests. You know, talk about what it entails and how people can not only attend but become get involved.
Well, thank you, you know, so much. So our event will be on Sunday, January 15th. It's from 6:30 to 8 p.m. We are welcoming the public to come through and view it through via Zoom or our Facebook at MLK Committee at Facebook.com. And that way that you can sit at the comfort of anywhere that you are, even if you're at work or you're on a cell phone or on your iPad or any other device, you can watch it. We do have participants that will be coming in to do things live, and then some of the participants, of course, will invite, you know, some of the people that are closer to them. Yes.
So you're going to have, people are going to be able to go see it live. Is that true? And where's that going to be?
Well, that's great. So it's not open completely to the public. It's a special invite for certain participants and their families. And that will be located in Katati at Nur Shalom, which is the old Katati Cabaret right near the Katati Hub. And that's the location. In the past years, it has been at Santa Rosa High School, at the Santa Rosa Veterans Memorial Building, as well as Luther Burbank Center. And in the past few years, because of the COVID and different, you know, the pandemic and different regulations, we wanted to keep it a little bit more intimate. And to keep everyone safe as we move forward. But we look so forward to next year and to future to go back in public where everyone's invited to come.
So what you're saying is the public, it's open on a Zoom.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And just to remind folks that they will get all the information along with your website, that we'll give it again at the end, but also at www.womenspaces. So talk a little bit about the event itself. I know you have some contests for kids, and how do they get involved, and what are some of the activities
well,
that you're looking at?
Yes, so, you know, this has been wonderful. So yesterday we had our oratorical competition that is open to all 7th through 12th graders throughout the county of Sonoma County. So we had some students, and you know, it was so amazing. It was held at Community Baptist Church, where it's always have been held. And we had some students. We have three winners from the county. We have Esmeralda that came from Elsie Allen, and she came in first place. And we also have Layla from Rancho Cotati, who came in second place. And we have Gabriel from Rancho Cotati, who came in third place. And the greatest thing about it is each year the trophy moves around to different high schools or the junior high school, middle school that of the winners that have that.
Was there a particular theme that they had?
Yes, the theme. Thank you for saying. The theme for 2023 is Power at Its Best is Love, Implementing the Demands of Justice. And this is a full quote from Dr. Martin Luther King would be, "Power without love is reckless and abusive, and love without power is sentimental and anemic." Our theme this year, quote, end quote, "Power at its best is love, implementing the demands of justice." And to finish this quote, "And justice at its best is the power correcting everything that stands against love." And that is by Martin Luther King Jr.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Can you read the first line again? Read that again. People need to hear that and understand what you're saying here.
Quote, power without love is reckless and abusive, and love without power is sentimental and anemic. Power at its best is love implementing the demands of justice, and justice at its best is power correcting everything that stands against love. Martin Luther King Jr. And here, and Elaine, I want to also let you know that next week we have our youth poster art contest. It's open from children pre-K to 12th grade, but the actual competition is to those to 6th grade. Now, we're also partnering with Sonoma County Library System, and also partnering with CHOPS Teen Club. So the poster art will be judged at CHOPS Teen Club, and all the posters that's come throughout the school districts in Sonoma County, those that are participating, including the Sonoma County Library System, we're all going to have that. And then that's also going to be displayed virtually and visually at the event this Sunday.
Oh, that's amazing. That really is amazing. Well, you know, talk about, you know, here you are developing this whole event that happens every year. What are some of the challenges you have, and what are some of the pleasures that you personally receive out of that?
Well, thank you so much. The challenges have been based on us not gathering together safely, and some people feeling like that it could be unsafe for their health. We really, truly miss being indoors. And during this time in January, as we see, the weather is kind of unpredictable. And so a lot of times we can have a lot of people that want to attend during this time, and we wanted to be safe. But we know next year that no matter what, we're going to have all the safety protocols, and everyone should be welcome and ready to come back to gather.
So you're saying one of the major challenges that you're facing actually is having to do it virtually rather than in person, and the frustrations. You know, I know how it feels. You know, you want to be there. You want to see the kids. You want to shake hands. You know, you want to have a piece of cake, a piece of birthday cake. I mean, that was to me the highlight, that you always, and then to see the kids' artwork and stuff. And I think it's amazing that you brought all these different organizations together.
Yes. You know, and at our main committee, the people, you know, originally we're talking about, you know, Reverend Coffee. We're talking about James Wright. We're talking about a lot of people, even my father, Harold Rogers. There's a lot of people that were Carol Ellis. Let's see, Patricia Clark. There's a lot of people that were for many, many decades a part of this thing, and a lot of people have started to age a little bit. So we have a lot of people that originally started have either passed on, or they're in the 80s, and some people are in the 70s. And we do have a lot of people that we consider them young bucks, and they're in their 70s. And we're talking about Barbara Holleran. We're talking about Attila Nagy. We're talking about Melissa Willoughby, Nancy Vogel. Of course, Ken Duncan Sr., and he came in when he was, you know, a young guy. You know, still a youth, and now, you know, he's a grandfather. So these people have been the core. But, you know, with the addition of myself coming in after, you know, doing some presentations and doing the children's program, and also Carol Ellis and Diane Foster's daughter, Bree Foster, is now on the committee. But this year, you know, we had a lot of people step up. We really appreciate Faith Ross from the Petaluma Blacks for coming in. We really, truly appreciate Kirsten Lang from the NAACP, the president. And also, we also appreciate, there's Yvette Miner and a lot of other people that have came in, along with Pastor Reverend Turner.
Well, I really appreciate you saying that. Well, we're coming to the end of the segment, so if you could give people the website and how they find out, how they get the information on the Zoom.
The best way for you to reach us at this particular point is on Facebook at MLK Committee. Okay, and if you go there, you'll be able to watch the virtual program, the live stream program. It's at 6:30 to 8 p.m. this Sunday on Dr. King's actual birthday, January 15th. So it's going to be an exciting program. There's lots to see, lots to experience, and everyone's going to have a wonderful time, whether they're on their couch or they're right there. And we have the MLK Mass Community Choir with Lewis Jenkins and Benjamin Mertz, Della DeFella, and Tina Rogers. Thank you, Women's Spaces.
Oh, what a wonderful interview, Tina. And I want to let my listeners know that all the information plus the display of the flyer will be on www.womenspaces.com. Thank you so much, Tina Rogers, for being a great, great guest once again. And congratulations on pulling this all together.
Thank you as well.
Well, folks, that's it for our show. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. I want to do a special thank you to our very wonderful, wonderful guest from the folks doing the Frog and the Toad show, Molly Larson Shine, who's one of the actors. She'll be playing the bird, the mouse, the squirrel, and the mole, and also the director, Annie. Hold on a minute, Annie. I'm going to get, make sure I got Annie's name here right. Annie, here we go. Annie Warren Clark, for being such a wonderful director and bringing this all together. A reminder that Women's Spaces will be aired again once again this evening at 11 o'clock, so tell your friends. And also, we are on several different podcasts, but if you also you go on to www.womenspaces.com, you will be able to find out all the information that we talked about this show. And as I do every single show, I remind people, our children are our future, and we must invest in them. And I love Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He was one of my heroes, and I encourage you all to check out the Zoom. It's going to be an amazing program. I know last year, even though it was on Zoom, I enjoyed it so much. It was just amazing. And also, please, a reminder, support your local radio stations. They are very important to our community. Well, once again, you've been listening to Women Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank everybody out there for supporting the show, for supporting me, and to supporting our community at whole. And I look forward to being with you the next time.
Take you home now, the woman in your life. She can wait so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you. Because the woman in your life, the woman in your life, the woman in your life is you.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, January 9th, 2023.